2000 UTC.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Thursday, April 20, 2023. Three South Sudanese were killed in a crossfire in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum.
We have one person who was so dear to us. He went out in Mansoura and unfortunately he was hit by a rocket along with another South Sudanese national. The two died on the spot.
And authorities in South Sudan say they are concerned about the fate of the country's oil industry.
I would like to reaffirm to the general public and to all concerned citizens of the Republic of South Sudan that the current fighting in the Republic of the Sudan mainly affected the logistics and transportation of the critical materials and equipment through Port Sudan to our oil fields in the Republic of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Fighting continued today in Khartoum despite a ceasefire announced by the warring parties on Wednesday. Officials at the South Sudan embassy in Khartoum say at least three South Sudanese were killed in a crossfire during the ongoing fighting between the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces in Khartoum. The Consul General at the South Sudan embassy has cautioned South Sudanese nationals living in Khartoum to remain indoors and avoid unnecessary movements. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Officials at South Sudan's embassy in Khartoum say three South Sudanese nationals were killed during the ongoing fighting in Sudan that erupted on Saturday. A consul general at South Sudan embassy in Khartoum, Garkoth Gai Diu, confirmed to South Sudan in Focus that two South Sudanese were hit by a rocket in Omdurman, while a third one was shot in Khartoum's Jebel Awliya locality. Diu says the three South Sudanese were killed in a crossfire.
We have one person who was so dear to us. He went out in Mansoura and unfortunately he was hit by a rocket along with another South Sudanese national. The two died on the spot. On Tuesday, another young South Sudanese in Jebel Awliya was shot and he later succumbed to his injuries in the hospital.
Sudan's Ministry of Health Emergency Operations Center said Tuesday 270 people were killed and 2,600 injured across the country. But officials with the World Health Organization say today that 330 people were killed since the fighting erupted on Saturday. Ambassador Guy is cautioning South Sudanese nationals living in Sudan to avoid hotspots in Khartoum and other cities across the country where Sudan Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces are fighting.
Everyone should stay home. If there is a cessation of hostilities, they should go and buy some basic items and go back home. They should not be moving around. Gunfire does not discriminate. So let them stay home until the situation comes to normal.
Lina John is a South Sudanese national living in Khartoum. She told South Sudan in Focus earlier today that she and her four kids have very little stock of food.
I am scared because if this fighting continues for more days, people will not have something to eat in their houses. And even if you have money, it will be difficult to get something to buy. The situation is just horrible.
South Sudanese activist Teresa Emilio, who works with the refugees in Khartoum, says the fighting has impacted the lives of many refugees. She says refugees who survive on casual work are going through a tough time with no money, food and water.
Many South Sudanese residing in open or unfinished buildings are the most affected group. Children are scared, hungry and thirsty as well. And there is no way you could go out to look for food or water. This is a big problem.
More than 15 hospitals have suspended operations in Khartoum due to intensified fighting between the warring parties. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move to Juba, where South Sudan's Minister of Petroleum says the fighting in Sudan has affected oil production in the country. The Minister of Petroleum, Port Kang Chol, told reporters in Juba that there are few raw materials for oil production. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
South Sudan relies on Sudan for exporting crude oil and imports of raw material for the production of crude oil. Addressing reporters in Juba Thursday, South Sudan's Minister of Petroleum, Kang Port Chol, says South Sudan has few supply of raw materials for the production of crude oil.
On behalf of the Ministry of Petroleum and on my own behalf, I would like to reaffirm to the general public and to all concerned citizens of the Republic of South Sudan that the current fighting in the Republic of the Sudan mildly affected the logistics and transportation of the critical materials and equipment through Port Sudan to our oil fields in the Republic of South Sudan.
Kang says oil companies will continue with oil production for a limited period using some raw materials in their stores.
The current inventory of all critical materials, chemicals and equipment in the oil fields are enough to sustain a smooth production and exportation activities of our crude oil for the next 3 months. And the established emergency response team are tirelessly working with all the stakeholders and their counterparts in the Republic of Sudan to ensure continuous production of crude oil in the Republic of South Sudan despite the ongoing fighting in the Republic of Sudan.
The minister says his office and investors have formed an emergency response team to start talks with authorities in Djibouti and Kenya to seek alternative routes for importing raw materials needed for oil production in South Sudan. Chol says pipelines, pump stations, processing facilities and export marine terminal in Sudan are still operating, adding that South Sudan produces up to 169,000 barrels of crude oil per day. He says he hopes the fighting in Sudan stops as soon as possible to avoid side effects on oil productions in South Sudan.
I would pray that we don't pray for the war to continue in the Sudan. It should be our humble prayers, all of us, that the war come to an end in the Republic of Sudan, because it is in the best interest of the people of South Sudan and as well as the people of Sudan. However, in the event that it does not come to an end quick, we would not want any things that will affect the exportation of oil. The warring parties, under the internal law, have the responsibility of protecting critical infrastructure in their country. We are calling on them to continue with that responsibility.
South Sudan, regional leaders and international community have repeatedly called for a ceasefire, but the warring parties ignored the appeal and continued to attack each other's positions. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
Health officials in South Sudan say patients and caregivers should cancel travel plans to Sudan for medical treatment. The Director General of Juba Teaching Hospital says he will not refer patients to Khartoum for treatment due to the ongoing fighting in the city. Dengai Deng has more for VOA from Bor.
Ruben Tid had plans to seek medical treatment in Sudan, but the ongoing fighting in Khartoum has disrupted his trip. Tid says he is worried about his condition. He says health facilities in Khartoum are affordable, adding that he trusts Sudanese doctors more than their counterparts in East Africa.
The condition that I have is a condition called vitiligo. It cannot be managed here. It is only managed in Khartoum due to the presence of instruments which are not here in our hospital. Khartoum is somehow good. They don't charge highly in comparison to the rest. So they are faithful and strictly to their treatment. They are cheaper, and even if they are expensive, they are truthful and they are sincere in the charging people in comparison to that.
Vitiligo is a disease that causes loss of skin color in patches. The discolored areas get bigger with time. The condition can affect the skin on any part of the body. It can also affect hair and the inside of the mouth. Dr. Anthony Lupai is the director of Juba Teaching Hospital. He says he will not send referrals to Sudan due to the current fighting in the country.
It is risky going to Khartoum now for patients that are referred to Khartoum because the situation is still very volatile. Even the hospitals are not operating as they were before, according to the information that we are getting on the ground. I advise those who might have had any reason for going to have treatment abroad, they should shift either go to Nairobi or go to Kampala or go to Cairo. I think these are the options that we have.
Dr. Lupai says Juba Teaching Hospital has limited facilities for patients with medical complications that need specialized health care.
Some patients are referred for some operations that cannot be conducted here, like the heart operations, the spinal cord operations, people with disorders, and other things. These are genuine reasons for which some patients are sent. Otherwise, some medical conditions that need other investigation that are not also available in Juba, they are referred.
Winnie KG just returned to Juba last week after seeking treatment in Sudan. She says she has a follow-up appointment with her doctor in 2 weeks.
I did the test here in Juba and started the treatment. But later, I was told that I have cancer in my lung and was referred to Khartoum. My family sat down and got me some money, and I went to Khartoum. I went and I did another test in the hospital called Al-Faben in Souk Arabic. The results shown that there was no cancer in my lung and the condition can be treated. The doctor told me to return to him after 2 weeks. But later, I was told the doctor traveled to Jordan. I returned to Juba on Friday, and on Saturday there was fighting. Now, I will not be able to return.
The World Health Organization said several hospitals in Khartoum have run out of blood, transfusion equipments, intravenous fluids, and other vital medical supplies amidst the ongoing clashes between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. Sudanese health officials say 16 hospitals across the country, including 9 in Khartoum, are offering minimal services due to staff fatigue and a lack of supplies. The WHO says it is deeply concerned about the reports of military strikes targeting health facilities, hijacking of ambulances with patients and paramedics on board, looting of health facilities, and deployment of the military at the health facilities. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how will Sudanese celebrate Eid al-Fitr? Find out more after the break.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on plus one 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, plus one 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. As the conflict in Sudan enters its sixth day, the Somali ambassador to Sudan says his government is advising Somali citizens to leave the city if they can get safer passage out. Mohammed Sheikh Ishaq says those who could not leave might go to safer regions in Sudan or to the neighboring countries. Harun Maruf of VOA's Somali service asked the ambassador if the government has plans to evacuate estimated 3,000 Somalis in Sudan, most of whom are students.
The plan is still going, but we are giving direction some of the community. If some people are voluntarily can go to the near the states, that can be safe.
Okay, so you are advising your citizens that they can leave if they know that they will be safe. Where do you want them to go?
It depends. There is some of our community, they know very well a Sudan situation. They have been there more than 40 years. Some of them having a Sudanese passport. So they know very well the situation of the country.
Tell us about the situation of the embassy. Has there been any problems amid the fighting?
Still, we don't have, just we are sharing that common problem that having all the embassies and all the community are there. Situation is very difficult. We have difficulty for the electricity and water shortage. Even if they have electricity back, they don't have to buy electricity for some shops because all shops are closed. So except that, we don't have a specific things that or target things to the embassies too.
What about the staff? Have they been targeted, stopped, harassed?
Last night, or I can say before yesterday, Judge the Fair was going to help some of our community, and he's driving to the same area near to the embassy, and they stopped security forces. I think, as he told me, it's the rebel forces. So they ask him where he's going, and he tell the where he's going. After that, they took his mobile and said go.
So they confiscated his mobile phone?
Exactly, yes.
Did they give back or they still keep it?
No, they didn't give back still.
Did they hit him? Did they?
They didn't hit him. They stopped it and asked, where are you going? Said, I'm going to help some our community. They said, okay, give me your mobile and open the password. He gave the mobile. There was also his company, one of his friends with the community. So when they took the two mobile and they asked to open the password and finally said, okay, go. That's it.
And who did this?
We don't know exactly in the conflict area. Sometimes other forces, but the people say the RSF forces are sitting in that area.
That's Mohammed Sheikh Ishaq, Somali ambassador to Sudan. He was speaking with VOA's Harun Maruf. Still in Sudan, while the ceasefire attempts in Sudan have failed, the evacuation of scores of Egyptian troops that have been held there has raised hopes that more foreigners trapped in the fighting could be leaving soon. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudanese military officials announced early Thursday that 177 technical personnel of the Egyptian Air Force who have been detained in the town of Mary were evacuated to Egypt from Dongola Airport by four Egyptian military transport planes. The military said the Egyptians were in Sudan for training when fighting broke out on Saturday between Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. The Rapid Support Forces also announced in a statement today that they handed over 27 Egyptian nationals to the International of the Red Cross. The RSF statement describes their health as excellent and that they handed them over with all their belongings. Hundreds of other foreign nationals are effectively trapped in Sudan, unable to leave because of heavy fighting this week around Khartoum's international airport. Clashes continued in Khartoum Thursday despite ceasefire agreements announced by the warring parties over two consecutive days. Khalifa Sadiq is a lecturer on extremist and terrorist groups at the International University of Africa in Khartoum. He says the release of the Egyptian captives is a positive move by both warring parties. is speaking to VOA by a messaging application in Khartoum. Sadiq says that under international law, both warring parties have no choice other than to respond positively to calls of a humanitarian ceasefire. He says both the military and the RSF are expected to abide by the terms of the ceasefire because suspending hostilities has a strong positive impact on the humanitarian situation. This is one of the fruits of the continued external pressure on the parties to suspend hostilities and create a safe passage for humanitarian activities. Sadiq believes the ceasefire were not respected because some fighters have no direct contact with their field commanders. He says the RSF is now an unbounded group that lost leadership directives and the majority of its members didn't know that a ceasefire had been announced. Therefore, they are unable to comply with this practice of international law. Thousands of Khartoum residents have fled their homes in the past 2 days, seeking safety and basic necessities. Food supplies in the capital have dwindled, and most parts of the city have no electricity or running water. The fighting was triggered over Sudan's political future, which has been in flux since the overthrow of longtime leader Omar al-Bashir in 2019 and plans to integrate the RSF into the National Army. Ambassadors of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, and the United States, known collectively as the Quad countries, are urging the two warring sides to hold the fighting and return to dialogue. The Quad ambassadors urged the parties of the conflict to commit to the safety and protection of civilians, diplomatic missions, humanitarian workers, and to provide safe corridors for humanitarian operations. Michael Latit for VOA News.
On the eve of the end of Ramadan, fighting continues in Sudan for a sixth day in a row with no end in sight. It is a catastrophe, analysts tell VOA, as parties fail to observe mutually agreed ceasefire and continue to ignore calls from around the world for an immediate cessation of hostilities. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo has this report from Nairobi.
Doctors Without Borders, also known by its French acronym MSF, said on Tuesday the situation is dire in many parts of Sudan. Abdallah Hussein Abdallah, operations manager for MSF, told VOA about a hospital in El Fasher in the North Darfur region.
What was happening in the last days is that the situation was very tense there in the El Fasher. The population was trapped in this violence. Many people were wounded. We received, until the end of yesterday, 183 wounded. Majority of them are civilians, including children. And these people were caught in the crossfire in the town where they were doing their normal business.
MSF says the El Fasher South Hospital is the only hospital open in the area, and it's not just the recently wounded that have been coming in.
Today, the only hospital that's functioning in Al Fasher is this hospital that's supported by MSF. We're trying to assist the population as much as possible. It's not only the wounded that are going to the hospital. We also have some mothers that want to deliver, people who have other kinds of diseases that cannot go to other hospitals, because all the other three hospitals that were functional in the town, and today all of them closed.
The reasons why the other three hospitals in the area closed vary, Abdallah said.
Because of different reasons. Sometimes it's reasons related, the personnel not feeling safe to go there. There are also reasons because the hospital is close to the areas which had the intense fighting in the last.
He also says that as of yesterday, 25 people who were checked into the hospital have succumbed to their wounds. The World Food Program has announced the temporary suspension of operations across.
We apologize for that wrong tape. We now have the right tape by Mariama Diallo talking about how Sudanese will celebrate Eid al-Fitr.
It's been 6 days and fighting in Sudan rages on with no end in sight. None of the recently declared ceasefires have worked so far. After multiple tries this week due to lack of electricity, we were able to reach Hamad Haj, a former professor at the University of Khartoum, who spoke to us the day after the first 24-hour ceasefire expired.
Relatively speaking, the last 3 days were really miserable. And it was a real war. But today, I think it is becoming both fighting groups seem to put a kind of a ceasefire for 1 day. Although it is still holding, but with a sporadic fight going in the area of Khartoum, what we call the Khartoum official or sovereign part, which includes the National Palace and the military headquarters at the airport.
We lost the phone connection several times during the interview, but eventually he describes what he and his family have been going through.
I was living in an area in the northern part of Bundurban, and that was only about 8 kilometers away from the military base of Wadi Siyada. Wadi Siyada is a huge military area or district. So the fighting was really very heavy, and because the stray type of bullets were even reaching us in our homes, unfortunately killing 2 persons in our neighborhood. We have to withdraw from that area, and we came to our family Al-Mahdi Thawra. Since that time, we are safe as a family. We started to acquire some water and some food rations. But since, as I said yesterday, local sellers, some vendors, were starting to move around within the area.
The fighting that started last weekend between the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces has killed hundreds, injured thousands, and has left many trapped and unable to access basic health care, not just in the capital, Khartoum, but in other places as well, Doctors Without Borders told VOA. Kenyan President Samuel Ruto broke his silence and addressed the nation on Wednesday evening, saying his country was concerned.
Kenya is deeply alarmed that a misunderstanding over a single outstanding item in the political framework agreement, namely the time frame for the integration of the rapid support forces into the Sudan Armed Forces, has degenerated into violent conflict.
Ruto implored the leadership of both fighting parties to ensure full compliance with the resolution of the Intergovernmental Authority for Development, or IGAD, Heads of State's Emergency Summit held last Sunday, which included an immediate cessation of hostilities and
allowing unrestricted humanitarian access and extending full cooperation to the IGAD Heads of State mission when it visits Khartoum.
Ruto and 2 other leaders from the IGAD bloc, Salva Kiir and Omar Gele, are slated to visit Khartoum to mediate the crisis. Saif Magango, spokesperson for UN's Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, told VOA it's a tragic situation.
It's a very, very difficult situation for everyone. People are still trapped in their homes, unable to go out and find food, water or medical supplies. It's difficult to move personnel and humanitarian workers around.
He also says the fighting should cease immediately.
That's what the High Commissioner for Human Rights is urging both sides, to really think about the people of Sudan and stop the bloodshed. The talks were progressing and they were promising, and there was hope that there would be a political agreement in no time. So bottom line is, you're fighting. During the fighting itself, respect international humanitarian law, protect civilians, and ensure that there is no attacks on humanitarian workers.
The
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast in Studio 14. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. On behalf of our producer, Nabil Biagio, and engineer, Patrick Dare, we wish you a good evening and remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.